All right, welcome back. 11:35 in the Zone on the Buzz Radio Network. Justin Akre joined by Christina LeCure, who hopefully has some other topics to fill at the last hour.
No, nope, I'm
nothing.
Good. I'm just
all
had
out.
That one.
No, okay. Well,
good. It was nice. Well,
I got nothing that's going to run 45 minutes.
How about Mr. Michael Felder does, though?
Maybe he does. Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, joining us in the Zone. Hi, Michael.
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
I'm super fantastic, actually, man. Look at it's a nice day in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's a beautiful day in Arkansas. We got into a pretty heated debate in the first hour today. We had not delved into the Grambling thing, and so we started having a debate about the Grambling issue because Christina just came in and offhanded mentioned it. There are a lot of different layers and facets to that particular story, but at the end of the day, they're going to be back on the field. Now Jackson State is threatening legal action. There are all kinds of strange things that are going on with that. What was your take on the whole deal? How shocked were you by what you saw in the pictures and the descriptions of what's going on with that program? And how amazed are you by how things have gotten so bad so quickly there, seemingly, from a competitive standpoint?
I'm not that amazed. I think they're in a tough spot, obviously. Grambling is a great sell as an HBCU. But ultimately, when you get into Louisiana with the massive state cuts to higher education, that trickles down, obviously, to Grambling. It filters through not just the academic side of things, but the athletic side as well. And then you throw a little politics in there, some mismanagement and bad politics, some bad blood between school president and Doug Williams, probably the most famous Grambling alum at this point. You throw in some bad blood and politics, and then you end up with student-athletes suffering.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a sad deal. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. It sounds like they are going to play again, but hopefully they get things worked out pretty quickly. Shocker last weekend for most of us at Clemson as Florida State goes in, and the fact that they won was not shocking. They were a slight favorite going in, but the fact that they obliterated Clemson was shocking, and then even more shocking, Dabo Swinney comes out and says, we're about even. Really? Okay.
I think, the biggest thing, I learned a lot about Florida State in that ball game. They came out, they played hard, they stopped them in every facet of the game. Clemson tried to run inside, they tried to run outside, they tried the zone read, they tried the inverted veer, and they tried to throw deep, they tried to throw short, tried to throw intermediate, and Florida State had an answer to everything. I think I learned a lot about Florida State. Right now in the country, we've got three number ones in Alabama, Florida State, and Oregon, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And as far as Clemson goes, I don't think that they're about the same as Florida State, but I do think they're still in that top 10 range. Florida State's just a better football team than most everyone in the country. They can do everything pretty well, and there's not very many teams that can do that. There are about three of them. So I look at Clemson, they could still beat most teams in the nation. They still deserve to be up there in that top 10. They're probably still going to get a BCS at-large bid if they can hold their water against South Carolina at the end of the season. So I don't think they're about even, but I don't think that they're far off in terms of where they stand. I think the distance between Florida State and Clemson is still shorter than the distance between Clemson and most of the other teams in the ACC or most of the other teams in the country.
Stanford is not as impressive, Michael, to me, as I thought they would be at this point in the season. Certainly there are some other programs that are better than a lot of people expected in the Pac-12. UCLA has been very good. Obviously Oregon State has been in and out of the top 25. There are some difficult matchups as they go forward. And then you look at the ACC, to me, even more difficult for Florida State. Would have to play probably Virginia Tech in the title game. They have Miami in the regular season. Maybe play Miami, I guess, in the championship too. But which team do you expect to go unscathed enough to make it into the title game?
I think Florida State's the team that can do it. You look at them, I think they're better than Miami right out of the gate. I think Virginia Tech offers a very intriguing matchup in the ACC championship game because the Hokies play such good defense. Jameis Winston hasn't seen something like that, not yet this season, and so I think that's a big one for him. He'll get a chance to look at a good defense against Florida, but Virginia Tech does it a different way, so I think that's a matchup that I'm looking forward to that could trip them up. I think Stanford's a team. They're very conservative on offense, extremely conservative, so much so that at times it hurts them. It makes folks question David Shaw, but they are a good football team. They're sound, they're disciplined. They know what they're going. They know what they need to do when they go out there on the field, and so they're going to give Oregon trouble. I think Oregon goes down. I think if it's not this weekend to UCLA, I think it is to Stanford. And keep in mind, Oregon also, if they don't lose in the regular season, they're going to have to play UCLA or Arizona State in a Pac-12 championship game, another stumbling block for them. I think Oregon probably has a higher chance of losing, but the Ducks are so good. Florida State's so good. We could end up with those three teams undefeated, and that's not even including an Ohio State team that very clearly is in the fourth spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think they're on the outside looking in. One of the other teams that was expected to maybe go undefeated but probably would be on the outside looking in is Louisville, and things took care of themselves with Central Florida knocking them off. So, let's say for argument's sake, Florida State and Oregon both went out. Who's in? I'm assuming Alabama's winning out, too, by the way, in that scenario.
Yeah, of course. Of course, we'd assume Alabama wins out. I think Oregon would be the team that gets the nod. They're probably going to jump Florida State after this weekend. And because of the strength of schedule, the elements they're playing, the UCLA team is still top 12 in the country. So they're going to jump Florida State this weekend, and I think the bulk of their schedule has enough weight to keep them ahead of the Seminoles. I mean, we're talking about a ranked UCLA team, a ranked Stanford team, and then a ranked Arizona State or UCLA to wrap up the season. That's a big push, and I didn't even throw in Oregon State, which could be ranked even higher as they get to that Civil War game. Florida State, Florida doesn't look like a push at the end of the season anymore.
No, you're right.
They don't look like a numbers booster, I should say, at the end of the season anymore. They've got the Miami game, and then that's it for them, and it's going to be tough for them to climb the ladder. I think Florida State versus Alabama would be a better matchup from a body standpoint, from a preparation standpoint, but I think in the grand scheme of things, Oregon would get the nod because of that strength of schedule, because of where they started the season and where they stand right now.
Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. I saw a story this morning about hot seat ratings, and when we started the season, Gary Pinkel was on most people's list. Safe to say he is no longer on that list, and it looks like you truly can blame last year's issues, not necessarily just on the transfer to the SEC, but also on injuries, which they've had less of this year, but they do lose James Franklin and they keep it rolling. Gary Pinkel has gone from hot seat to maybe the SEC Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I think he's got to be in the running for SEC Coach of the Year. We'll see how he finishes out. He's got his team off to a hot start. I think Gus Malzahn also has to be in the mix for SEC Coach of the Year. Pinkel, even without James Franklin last week, against the Florida defense that was the SEC's best, I mean, they targeted those defensive backs with a purpose. Doriel Green Beckham, LaDainian Washington, guys catching balls in the air over smaller defensive backs. They made a statement with Matty Malk, and we'll see what happens this week. And I think the good thing for Mizzou was that Jadeveon Clowney showed himself against Tennessee. He reminded everybody that, hey, I'm here, and I could make big plays. And I think Mizzou goes into this game plan with the idea that, hey, you know what? We've got to run the ball away from Clowney, and we've got to get the ball out of Malk's hands quickly, or this could get ugly for him.
Did Josie get hurt last week? Did I hear that?
Henry Josie got hurt a little bit, but I think he's expected to play.
Okay, well, that'll be an impact, certainly. Yeah, what do you think of that game? That should be a great matchup. I mean, it was going to be a great matchup before South Carolina lost. I still think it is. Who do you like in that one?
For me, I tell you what, I want to pick the Gamecocks, but I'm curious to see how they play with or without Connor Shaw. Connor Shaw, rumors that he practiced this past week, but he's still not going to be 100%. I think Dylan Thompson brings a different element to the ball game, the ability to stretch the field. But their wide receivers are so unreliable when it comes to holding on to the football. They've got guys dropping the ball all over the field. I think you've got to go with Mizzou here, even though South Carolina probably a little bit more talent overall. I think Dylan Thompson sitting in that pocket, he's a guy that's going to get harassed by Michael Sams. And unless South Carolina decides, you know what, we need to run this ball and then run it a lot with Mike Davis, South Carolina's going to end up losing.
Yeah, I can see that. I can't get past tradition, I guess. So it's easier for me to pick South Carolina this week. The same way it was easy enough for me to stupidly pick Florida last week. What an idiot I am. Did you learn anything about Arkansas the last couple of weeks, or is this kind of what you were expecting in what is clearly a rebuilding year?
Yeah, I just think that we learned that they are a team in transition. I mean, obviously the reluctance to throw the ball at spots is very clear. That's glaring almost. And the fact that they just don't have the pieces that Brett Bielema needs to be successful. They don't have the pieces so last week to keep it really tight in the ball game. So this is one of those things that you go through this period, you know what, you lick your wounds, you go back to the huddle, you go back to practice, you go back to the film room, you figure out where you can get better, and then you hope that the cavalry comes in the next few years. Some of those young guys grow up, they get in the weight room over the offseason, you bring in some new kids, and you get some talent, and you go out and try to look better next year. But right now, this is about guys learning how to play football the way Brett Bielema wants them to. And I think they're starting to do that. It's not going to reflect on the scoreboard, but I think as these guys transition, as they learn the system and understand what he expects and what is acceptable, I think they're growing as football players. It's just not going to show on the scoreboard.
The least relevant but always interesting question is always about the Heisman. And this year, three great quarterback performances continue. Johnny Manziel battling through injuries. Mariota's been consistently good. And Jameis, of course, with a top-shelf victory on a big stage last week. Who is your leading contender right now, and is there anybody else I should have in the mix out of the top three or four?
I love Johnny Manziel, but I think Marcus Mariota is the guy that's probably going to win it. Personally, I'd still put Manziel up there. I think the way he came back through the knee injury, now the shoulder injury, He's battling back, and he's developed as a football player in tremendous fashion. But Marcus Mariota is going to be the guy on top here. Folks are in love with him. He, obviously, he's a quiet kid. Not a lot of people know much about him. Sort of the position that Manziel was in a year ago at this point, a guy that absolutely just could dazzle people with his play. Mariota's developing as a passer, able to stretch the ball downfield, making Braylon Addison and Josh Huff look like superstars in that offense. And when you get a vertical threat with an offense that stretches you horizontally, you got a real problem. That's what Marcus Mariota is. I think Jameis Winston's there in that third spot. If Florida State keeps playing the way they're playing, they keep blowing up on, exploding on teams with points the way they've done, I think Jameis Winston is going to see his name creep closer to the top in front of Johnny Manziel.
Okay. Very good. Michael, we appreciate the time, man. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.